First of all, not here every day, and has a very busy schedule, and he arranged and rearranged his whole schedule to enable us to hear a shir from him. So we want to express our best intelligence that we can actually arrange that you could give a shir here. I can actually finish giving a shir a few minutes before, he has some other things later here. So we thank you for carving out a slot for us.
Okay. It's a pleasure on my part. So I'm going to speak a little bit of Hilchos Shechita today. How much time do I have? What is it, about an hour?
A little more.
A little bit more than an hour? Okay. So we're going to truncate all of this into 1 hour. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the conceptual ideas related to Shechita. A lot of what I'm going to say is things that I've heard from the Rav, and also just give you some, touch here and there about some of the practical applications as they apply today. I just told my shir, Hudi was there, that what I used to give the other day. I've got to get some tissues, I'm sorry. I think I just swallowed something, went down the wrong way.
Ooh, okay.
But when I...
Come and bash it.
Yeah. Make sure not to... just paste up what I say, but also got to make sure not to get them mixed up. So, when I first was given my days, the syllabus for Yeradeya was Shechita, Basim Cholov, and Tarovis, primarily. And Mary Chalap told me that he always wanted to get rid of Shechita, because he thought, for the bottom nowadays, it's not so critical. They hardly ever even go to a slaughterhouse. And he said that, that the reason he didn't was because the Rav didn't let him. Because the Rav said that Ikalam, this is in Shechita. But after the Rav passed away, first thing to go was Shechita. Thank you. Today is Avaron Lichtenstein's Yahrzeit, so we think about Avaron and above, and back to Hilchos Shechita. Okay. as you know, in terms of Hilchos Shechita, there were 5 Hilchos Shechita, primary Hilchos Shechita, in terms of what's ma'akim in the Shechita. We'll talk about some of them. In terms of Shechita itself, and who's kosher to be a shochet. So as you know, that a person who's a shochet has to be a, it says in Shulchan Aruch, he has to be a person who's learned. Nowadays we have a Kabbalah, we have a minig is that we only let somebody who has Kabbalah in Shechita, is a person who constantly chases Hilchos Shechita. All these are dealing with Shulchan Aruch. So what historically became of the Shechit was that he really became, just in terms of the hierarchy within the shtetl, the Rav was on top, hopefully, and next to him, was the Dayan and the Shechit, and the Shechit was considered a significant position. You'll see why I'm saying this. In America, especially in the early part of the 20th century, one of the problems that we had was that many of the Shochtim, there were many Shochtim who just weren't from. There were Chal Shabbos, and the halach is Chal Shabbos is Shechita is possible. Whether that's a din d'oraisa or a bonus b'chlokes ha'poskim. But as you know, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, when he became the first Rav HaKol, one of the things that he fought for was to elevate the status of Shechita in America and the quality of the Shochtim and the supervision. And he wasn't successful in that attempt, so much so that it killed him. He died a broken man because of that. just a plug for the OU, one of the things that the OU wanted to do when it was first founded, this is was to elevate the level of kashrus in general in America. And I remember hearing once from the Rav, you know, there was the Rav of Moscow, his name was Rav Maza. He was the Rav in Moscow during the Bilas process. And I know his name because my uncle, Rav Nachman Genachovsky, lived on Rehov Maza in Tel Aviv. But the Rav, I heard this from the Rav once, he said that Rav Maza told this story about there was once a person, a shoychet shechted an animal, and then he was boydikated, and for whatever reason it is, he decided that it was treif. So the owner of the Schlachthaus called the Rav Amachsher, you know, called him up, he should come to his office. But before he came there, so the Rav Amachsher stopped at the, you know, asked the shoychet, you know, what was the shaylit on the shans, and the chanamit stak a treif. Then he went into the office, and he had a little schmooze with the owner of the slaughterhouse. And when he came out, he said, you know, I think it's kosher. So the shochet said, what transpired in that short time? So he said, Ed, make a vizna mafurisha kesef mishnah. He showed me explicit kesef mishnah. You know, so the Rav said, they make it more elaborate. First he showed me a turei zav. You know, first he showed me a kesef mishnah, then a turei zav, and so on. So the Rav said, that's the OU came to end for this difficult kesef mishnah. So, Mary Tites told me once from Elizabeth, he said, one of the basic principles he has, and he thinks is one of the most important things, is that you shouldn't, that the shoychet shouldn't be paid, you know, for the, you know, only for the kosher. There shouldn't be these incentives or disincentives, maybe, to do the right thing. Okay, so now, in terms of Hilchos Shechita, I just want to just focus on a few things. We don't have that much time. Let's just read, if you have your day with you, just the beginning of Hilchos Shechita. Mihem hakshem lishchot. Hakol shochtem l'chadchila, afilu noshim. V'yesh omen she'en l'haniach noshim lishchot, she'kfar nogu shel lishchot, v'chein ha'minig she'en ha'noshim shochtos. So the minig is that women don't shecht. The question is, this minig that women don't shecht, by the way, it's clear from Tosis in I'm going to talk about this Tosis later, but I'm just looking at it today. Tosis in Gittin, very beginning of Gittin, Beis Amud Beis, says, you know, how is it that we rely on women to shecht, either they don't know Hilchos Shechita? So Tosis says, because there's Acher and Rayonis, but anyhow, you see that in Tosis' time, women were shechting. But the Ramah says that the minig now is that women don't shecht. The question is, why don't, what's that minig based on? So the minig, you know, the simple interpretation is that women don't shecht because, you know, there's a chashash, shemi yis'alef, maybe they'll, you know, just the sight of blood will make them queasy. But the Rav said that there was a different reason why women don't shecht, this minig that women don't shecht. He thought that the reason was like this. He said that shechita, or I should say the shoychet, is a money hakol, and it's an appointed position. And as I said, it's historically became a significant position. And we have, according to the Rambam, the Rambam says that the halacha of melech v'lo malka, that you can't appoint a woman to, you know, to be the queen, or to be, you know, the king in quotes, is not only as it relates to the position of melech, but that's a general halacha, the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, for any svara that women cannot be appointed. So the Rav thought that that's why women don't shecht, it's because the only one who's qualified to shecht and be appointed as a shoychet is somebody, is a moni hakol, and women are excluded from mini hakol. And he brought a raya to this, very good raya, because the Beis Yosef quotes a kolbo, that women can shecht la'acherim, but they can shecht for themselves. So the Beis Yosef himself is bothered by this, but, I mean, women are chayiv, a Muslim, the Isa, a Nevela, so what's the difference if they're shechting la'acherim, if we think they don't have the necessary qualifications, what's the difference if they're shechting la'acherim, or they're shechting la'atzman? So, but if you say that the reason they're excluded, this minog, right, is because of mini hakol, so you understand very well that halacha of mini or svara is only related la'acherim, but not la'atzmon. And I often quote this vort from the Rav when I speak to, when I go to Schlachthauser under the OU. I'll always quote this, and just to tell the Shochtim that they have to realize that they're working for the community, that sense of responsibility and minui. I mean, one of the things that was the bane of Shechita was the difference between the Shochit and the Boidik, the Boidik Pnima, the Boidik Chutz, that very often I'd find, certain Shechitas what we had sort of questions about, that sometimes the Shochitim were excellent Shochitim, but they would come up with these remarkable numbers in terms of, percentages of kosher. And this, well, that's not my responsibility. That's the Boidik Chutz. As you know, in a Schlachthaus, the Shochit shechts it. Then there's what's called the Boidik Pnim. Boidik Pnim, it was the one who checks the lungs to see when it's in the cavity of the animal. He puts his hands and sees if it's smooth or not, if there are any sirchus, which are adhesions to the lung, which can mean that it's a trefer, and then the animal, the lung is taken out. We generally, there are yudches trefers, 18 trefers that I mentioned, but we only check the lung because there's a miyut hamotzoi. How much is miyut hamotzoi is machlokes apoiskim? It comes up in other places, but we generally assume that miyut hamotzoi, like the Mishkanus Yankov, is if it's 10%. So that there's generally more than 10% trefers that are usually in the lung. The other trefers are rare, less than whatever the number of miyut hamotzoi is. Let's say less than 10%, much less. So therefore, we only, the Ramban says that therefore we only check the lungs. But then when we take it out, we blow up the lung, and we put it under water, to see that there's no puncture. Sometimes the Boidik Chutz or the Boidik Pnim, we get these remarkable numbers because they're not doing the right thing. And so, there has to be responsibility that this is a mini hakol, even not just, you can't say, well, what I'm doing is good, the sheikh is doing, but I that's somebody else's issue. No, it's everybody's issue because it's a mini hakol. So I try to emphasize this idea. This issue, this shtickle toif from the Rav, came up recently in the discussion of the OU's position about women clergy, and this position that I've recited about mini hakol, that women are excluded. I'm not here to advocate one way or the other. We're focusing on Hilchos Shechita. But you see this sense of responsibility also, because later on it says that if the call made a cherem, it's in the Sif Yud Aleph. Im hitil hakol chem shlo yishchok el tabach yadua v'shochet acher yesham tshchitasu asura. And the Ramah adds in this Blatla ha-takana kol ha-shochet mecheskes kashus k'mo b'rishona, right? But for the fact that there could be a takonis hakol and a chem that the institute that only certain people can shech, that's based on this principle or this concept that shchita is a mini hakol. And that's demonstrated also by the minig that, as I said, developed the halacha that we give Kabbalah to Shochet. Ramosha has a tshuva. It's an interesting tshuva. Ramosha has a tshuva, which is, by the way, counter to this idea that you can't have women clergy. The Moshe has a tshuva about whether you can have a woman lava machsha, right? Mashkicha. But he was speaking about not just a mashkicha. It's I think there was a woman, I forgot her name, but she was a rebbetzin in Chicago, and her husband died. He used to give hashkachas, and she took over those hashkachas. So the question that was asked to Moshe, can she do that? And is that a problem of having somebody, a woman, you know, in that position, does that violate the principle of the Rambam that for every minu you can't have a woman? This is in Igros Maishel Chelek Beis, Yerodeya, Chelek Beis Yerodeya, and Rav Moshe, interestingly enough, what would you have answered to this question? You could have answered, well, that's not exactly mini hakol. You know, she's just checking what the ingredients are, telling them what. So Rav Moshe says, no, that's a mini, because you can tell the Baal Habos this, you can use that. Not that's also a form of svara. And so, but Rav Moshe is makel at the end, because he says not everybody agrees to the Rambam. I think Rav Moshe, quotes a chinuch, not like the Rambam, but you see that he relied on a different position. What I quoted for, what is quoted for now, is you see, Moshe has a, you know, at least b'dieved, a different opinion about, you know, not everybody holds like this Rambam about mini hakol. I just want to mention that just another riot. Tosis and Gittin has a discussion about women, whether a woman is kosher for to be a member of a Beis Din, and Tosis has a day that she can be. So you see, according to that day in Tosis, he didn't hold like the Rambam, because she should offhand would be excluded because of you know, the meaning to Beis Din. So I don't know that the Rambam's opinion, that we generally, I don't mean to argue against this one way or the other, but I'm just saying it's not a universal opinion, and that's what it's quoted for. But I quoted this tshuva for Moshe when I speak to the Shachrim for a different reason completely. I quoted just to say, you see that the sense, you know, what we can learn from Moshe tshuva is that this is a mini, it's a minui, and people should have that sense of achrayus that's attendant to that. You know, there's another tshuva in the later Igros Moshe, Rabbi Shapansky, writes to Rav Moshe about, well, according to you, why can't a woman be president of a shul? He never dreamed about a woman rabbi. So, and Rav Moshe, you can see just from his response to him, is a little bit annoyed. He said, you know, I never said that. You know, I didn't mean to extrapolate, you know, to there. But again, you know, the point that I wanted to emphasize was only this sense, that sense of achrayus that's attendant to being a shoichet. Or these positions, like as Rav Moshe said, in terms of, you know, giving hashgach and so on. Okay, now, is shechita a mitzvah or not? So, if you look in the Rambam counts shechita as one of the tarryag mitzvahs. And the Ravid, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, but if you look in the at the beginning of the Yad HaChazaka, the Minyan HaMitzvahs, you'll see that the Ravid is Masig, and he says it's not to be counted amongst the Mitzvahs. So I thought that may depend on a different, on a Shaila, how you define Shechita. We know if you shech the animal, you're allowed to eat the animal, right? So is the Pshat that Shechita is a Matir, that there's an Issa, let's say, Enes Avuach, and through Shechita you Matir that Issa? Or not that shechita is a mat, and that there's a chalois heta through the shechita, or no, that there's no chalois heta, it's just that the definition, you know, as you did it, and there was no ikur, and there was no, you know, shehiya, chalada, hagrama, right? So it's not nevela, but it's not that it's a mat. If you shecht in accordance to the hilchos shechita, so it's not nevela. So that's the derived thought. So therefore, it's not included in the it's not included in the Tariq Mitzvahs. It's just if you shech the corner to the Hilchos Shechita, so it's, therefore it's not nevela. But the Rambam thought that Shechita is a matir. So I remember speaking at some length with Shmuel Berman about this. So I have a raya that at least Riki Vega thought that Shechita is a matir, because Riki Vega asked the Shaila, if you shech on Shabbos, so you know. If it was, you know, if you don't become a mumah, that's a b'shoyde. So the shechit is kosher. So b'kivege is bothered. Why don't you say kol mitzvah to avir rachmanu lo savid I avid lo mahani? So b'kivege gives an answer to that, right? Because the isha Shabbos is not dafka through shechita. There's netilas neshama. So it's that, you know, it's not dafka the shechita that makes it. But from b'kivege's kasha, you see that b'kivege thought there was a chalais heta, right? So then you see that, and I heard from the Rav, I remember hearing from the Rav, he said, you know, I knew a lot of shechter in Boston, da 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 da, and he says, I don't believe that every time some person shechts each animal that he's necessarily mekayim a mitzvah. It's just that there's an inyan ha-Torah of shechita. So then the question is, why do we make a bracha on shechita? So the answer may be that this is what the Rav thought. The Rav thought there's another category, because a mitzvah, that the bracha is on the chalois heter. Well, if that's true, and that's what the Rav thought, so you see that there's a chalois heter, there's a chalois in shechita. But again, that may depend on this machlokes Rambam and Ravid. There's another issue that, you know, I just want to mention is, we know that shechita comes into play in two different categories. They are shechitas chulin and shechitas kachim, right? Are they one and the same? Because we know by shechita, by kachim, shechita is one of the dalet avoidas. So I'm just going to say this very briefly. The Rav thought, you know, the parsha of shechita, you know, it is in parshas Re'eh. Rashi says in the pasuk there, you know, zavach kashet tzvisicha, Rashi says, is because the parsha is speaking about kachim and shkutei chutz and so on. So kashet in accordance also to what I commanded you, halacha l'mos v'sinai. So point to Rashi, the Rav thought the halacha of shechita shkulim is really all halacha l'mos v'sinai. But the Ramban seems to say that the halacha of shechita was first formulated as relates to kachim, and it's borrowed to shechita shkulim. But shechita kachim, shechita shkulim are one. In my sefer, in Kan Shoshana, I have some rias to each side in different rishonim. But the Rav thought that the Ramban may be l'shitaso in a different respect. One of the lochas of Hilchas Shechita is that when you shecht, you have to, you know, the minimum shechita is what? Rov. You know, so in an animal you have to shecht the kona and the veshet, rov of each one. The kona and the veshet are the trachea and the esophagus. And by ov, one of the simonim, right? But l'chadchila, you're supposed to shecht not just rov, but kulo. So the Ramban in the beginning of the second parak is mesupik whether that may be a din d'iraisa. So it's very difficult to say lechatchil in a d'iraisa. But if you say that the Ramban thinks that it's part of the aloch of kachim, so maybe that's aloch in the kim ha-mitzvah of shechita, that there's a kiyum, and that's why there's aloch of lechatchil of kulo, maybe to be more with the dam. There could be, you know, other nafkaminis related to that, but just at the beginning here it says Hakol Shochtim. So the Shach says here, in terms of it says in Shabavodim v'chol odin afil ein makiyun also shemuchzuk l'shchok shelo is aleph v'gam ein yodim el shemumcha yod v'nidei hil chashchita mutu litin l'chatchila l'shchok umutu lecho mishchitoso. Right? So he says, the Chava mentions Avodim, and the Shach says, quotes that the Torah says, Vavodim ishuchroim. So the Shach interprets that a regular Eved would not be allowed to shech. And the reason is because he's, you know, he's just, he has all, to use the lashon of the Shach, Yeshlahem, Kol Hamidus Haroz, Yosim in Harekim, Vapoxim, can read Vashas, become a Duchti, Ve'enim Vecheskas Kashrus. Right? So I'm going to come back to that in a second. But this halach, I just want to speak a little bit about this principle. Rov Mitzuin Echel Shchit the Mumchimhen. Of course, we don't use that Lechatchil anymore because we require that we know the Shoichid yet. Again, he has that elevated level of Zahiris and the Shmir Samitzis and knowing the halachas and so on. But the halach is, the Mar says there's a principle, if you find an animal, and you know, over the people in the community are Jewish, you know, so it's not a goy that shechted it, we can assume, rov mitzuin etchel shechita mumchim hein. So what does that mean? What is that principle based on? So there's a famous tshuva, the Beis Halevi. It's the first tshuva. He has a series of several tshuvas at the beginning of Chelek Beis and the Beis Halevi. What is that based on? Is it based on an umdana, like a rubber de lesser command, that people don't shecht unless they know what they're doing? So, for example, you go to a doctor's office, you sort of assume, you know, if he's practicing medicine, he graduated, you know, from a medical school, he knows what he's doing. Every once in a while you hear the story about this person who was doing surgery. Remember, they had this in Italy. He was doing major surgery, never graduated, didn't know, have a clue what he was doing. So that's you know, we assume Robinson Netsha Shita Mumchemen. So this machlokes Rishonim, machlokes Lalochim Shin Shulchan Aruch, whether Rov Mitzun Et Shochtem Mumchem Hem, does that mean Lechatchila can shecht? And if he did shecht afterwards, are you Mechuyev Livdok Achrov? Because if it's just based on Rov, Mechuyev should have to check afterwards. So this is a machlokes between the Ra'or and the Rashbo. And the one of the questions that the Rashbo, the Ramban asks on the Ra'or is, how can you say Rov Mitzun Et Shochtem Mumchem Hem and that you don't have to check afterwards? Why don't you say smoch miyuta lechazaka v'yisri le'ruba? So the Ra'or answers to that it's not rov mitzvah nechir shchita, but kol mitzvah nechir shchita. Kol, everybody. So the Beis Halevi interprets that rov mitzvah nechir shchita, according to the Ra'or, when he says kol, it's because it's based on cheskas kashrus. So if it's based on cheskas kashrus, then it's everybody, right? Because everybody has, you know, starts with cheskas kashrus. And then this comes back to this shach over here. You know, if it's based on the cheskas kashrus, so maybe an eved, not an eved meshuchra, doesn't have that cheskas kashrus. So the Beis Halevi talks about, says this to explain a Rambam. The Rambam says much that if a person's kedi, whatever it is, was lost and then found keshochter, he says never lo that is kosher. And Tosha says it's lav dafka never, but even if it's gonov, it's also, we say rov mitzvah nechir shchita mumchen hem. But the Ram apparently, if it was stolen, he doesn't say rov mitzvah nechir shchita mumchen hem. Why? So the Beis Halevi says, because if you say, this machlok depends on the shaila, if it's based on a rov, so people don't, you know, don't do things unless something as technical as shrit, unless they have some experience and know what they're doing. So maybe it applies even if it's in a ganav, because even though he's choshed al ganeva, he's not necessarily choshed on what do you call it, on shrita. But if you say it's based on a person's cheskas kashrus, if he already, the whole principle, if he already violated that by stealing, so that, you know, how can we say the cheskas kashrus go, it helps for this, but doesn't expand to that. So then it wouldn't work. So the Rambam says that's only never, not gonu, because he thinks, like the Ra'or, that it's based on cheskas kashrus. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Beis Halevi quotes that Tosfos that I cited before. You see that Tosfos thinks that's not based on cheskas kashrus, because Tosfos asks, how do we know eid echad nemed b'isurin? So Rashi says at the beginning of Kitten, how do we know, why is Eid Echad Nemed B'Isurin? What does Rashi famously say?
It's how else could we eat?
Right, he says, because you see it, Hamina Torah al Ashchita al Nikar Agid al Trumas and so on. And Tosha says that's not the source. It's because Tosha ultimately looks for Pasuk, you know, for Sofer Law, whatever it is, right? But and Tosha says Shchit is not a Raya, because he says, well, maybe Shchit is because even that, because it's rov mitzvah nechir shchita mumchem hem, right? So you see that Tosfos thinks that rov mitzvah nechir shchita is not based on cheskas kashrus, because eda an implicit eda echad misurim. Because even if you don't know eda echad misurim, he's saying, you know, that principle. So then it would be Tosfos l'shitaso, maybe that Tosfos says that even nignavu rov mitzvah nechir shchita works. Okay. Okay. Then. So you have to know Hilcha Shchita in order to shecht. Mishi yodon she'eni yodei Hilcha Shchita afilu shochel fadeinu talud heipamin shchita aguna v'vui shochel achake benel ven atzim d'mchav says shchita so psula. So you have to know Hilcha Shchita unless okay. I just mentioned another halacha here. The Rama says that a chayla sheinu shemeir v'einu medaba, the shoyter dahainu shu yotzi yachidi belaila or mekari ksuso or land bebeis hakfaros or ma'abid mashenostin lo afilu be'achas me'elo im osu as a derech shtus v'kotn sheinu yodea la'amin yodav lishchot ein mosim lahem lishchot l'chadchila v'afilu achem omdim l'agabeyem v'mshochtu shchitosim ksheva.
What sif is this?
This is Sif Hay, Aleph Hay, right? So I just want to v'mshoch to shchitos v'ksheva v'machem onim l'kaveim v'ein moslem l'chadchil l'shchot and so on. But he says v'mkot yodei la'amin yodav v'machem onim l'kaveim shoychet l'chadchil u'mutu lechol mishchitoso. So just to mention a few things. Chevish, the Rav always used to, I heard this from the Rav 100 times, he always speaks about what's the law of Chevish, what's the definition of a Chevish. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Ram has different definitions as relates Chevish or Shoita. Let's say a Shoita means, he says, you know, he does crazy things, Lamba Besak Foros, Ma'abid Mashenostin Lo, Korek Suso, even if he does one thing in a, you know, in a psychotic fashion, is considered to be a Shoita. So that's one definition of shoyta. There's another definition of shoyta that the Rambam has, that even a shoyta dover echa is considered a shoyta. So at least as it relates to shchita, the Rambam seems to say that it's not just a dover echa. He's really, you know, you see, he's completely unstable. This just historically, this was once a very, 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 very famous issue that came up and split the Jewish world in Europe. Who knows the story of the Cleaver Get? So I don't know if they thought he was Mashiach, but he thought wherever he got married, and he had a persecution complex, and he always thought that the local authorities are out to get him, and he moved from place to place, and so, you know, ultimately the family got him, or whoever got him, to give a get to his wife, right? And the shaila was whether that get was a good get or not. That was called the Cleaver Get. I guess it was in Cleves. Cleves is in Holland, right? Anne of Cleves, one of Henry VIII's wives. So I assume that that's where it's from. I just don't know. Henry VIII, I know, but I'm not sure about the Cleaver Get. But so everybody wrote, when I say everybody, you know, Kiveg, it was, you know. So, it revolved around this, because the Ram says Shoytel Dover Echad. So he was normal in all things except for this idiosyncrasy. And so, was the get a valid get? Because do we pass the length of Ram? Don't we pass the length of Ram? So there was a lot, you know, a lot of shilas and tshuvas from everybody at the time who wrote about it. But the one who was matter it, or gave the get, was the Rav of Frankfurt. I forgot his name right now. But what was the Rav of, who said it was good? So the story with the Hafla, I just want to share this. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. It's such a wonderful story, though. The Hafla was about to write a tshuva. No. He said that the get was not good, right?
What did the Hafla,
he was going to write that
it's... say that it's hostile against...
It was Avon Frankfurt, I think.
No, Avon Frankfurt had hostile the get.
Oh, so the Hafla was going to say...
Matir, and he was going to write...
When he died, they were looking for Avon Frankfurt. They had one criterion, though, that whoever was going to be a candidate couldn't have disagreed with his psak that the get was, he said, I think he was the one who said the get was no good, and that Flo was going to come to say the get was good, right? That he wasn't the shoyter. So, either we don't pass the like the Rambam, so he wrote a long, this is the story the Rav tells, that he wrote, the Flo wrote a long tshuva about this by hand. And afterwards, you know, they used to write ink. They would take, you know, like they had some absorbent, I guess it was salt or something, they or they would sprinkle on the manuscript to dry up the blot, you know, blot the ink. By mistake, he picked up the inkwell and he poured it on his tshuva. And in frustration, he never wrote published a tshuva because he didn't have the koyach or the, you know, to rewrite the tshuva. So he was chosen because he did not publish a tshuva against Rav Avraham Frankfurt. So that floor became the Rav of Frankfurt. That's the story of the Rav. But anyhow, the Rav quoted always been here in Hilchos Shechita because it's nogeh for other things. The shoyta mean he always used to use the same language. He used to say that if you mean a person, it does shoyta mean just, you know, idiosyncratic behavior, or shoyta means I can hear the Rav, total disintegration of the personality, no eye awareness. Always used to use the same lashon. Total disintegration of the person, no eye awareness. But that's, so he said, it could be in Hilchos Shechita, you need a completely changed person, right? And it could be in Nafkamina, the Rav said, if a shoyta is, he's not chayiv in mitzvahs, is there a kim ha-mitzvah though? So if it's this definition, lamba basic flores and so on, from the Gemara Chakiga, then there's no kim ha-mitzvah. But if it's, you know, just, you know, for one thing, then maybe he is. There is a key in mitzvah, so he's potim na mitzvahs. So also here it says that a cotton, right, if achim loan also can shecht, if he knows the amen. So the shach is bothered. Why is a cotton shechita good? Right, he doesn't have nemona, so if somebody sees him, but the shechita itself would be good. We know that a goy is excluded from shechita, so why a cotton should also be excluded, because he's not a bazvicha. Because he's not chayev in the he's not chayev in mitzvahs. So the shach answers that even though he's not chayev in mitzvahs, so but ever the shechita is kosher because he's not chayev in mitzvahs, but he's mitzvahs are relevant here, right? Even though he's not nenash, but you're not allowed to be meichel a cotton. I'm adding a little to what the shach said. You can't be meichel a cotton isurin. So there is a chalois nevela for him, as opposed to a goy, that nevela is irrelevant to him. Yeah.
He knows it's for you to feed him or for him to eat it.
So midirais to the isur is only for you to feed it to los achilim. But if he eats it where the bezin is mitzuv lafrisho, you know, that's, so we pass in that kon ochel nevelas ain't bezin mitzuv lafrisho. But the father maybe is chayv lafrisho because the mitzvah is chinuch. But there's a chalois isa for him. If a cotton does, Reb Chaim says in the sefer, if a cotton does an aveira, it is called the ma'is aveira. He's potter. But it is called the ma'is aveira. Reb Chaim has a vayim from the back. If a cotton's ball egla rufa, if a cotton's box is only on a shifrach rufa, then he has to bring a oshem shifrach rufa. So you see, it is called the ma'is aveira. Otherwise, what shach that he should have to bring a korban. So Rukiveg is bothered. It says later on that a suma says suma lo yishchut a siftes lechatchila ella in kein achem vono so v'm shachat shchitasok sheva. Right. So Kivega asks here, why is it that we never find anybody who's choylik on this din? So Kivega asks, l'chayv l'shitas v'biruchim, the choyshev l'halach v'yehuda, the suma potim in a mitzvah, so he should be like a goy, right? So Kivega's question is, I think, a little strange. So Kivega answers famously, which is a machlekes a poiskim, and actually a suffolk in Rishonim, that a suma, according to Yehuda, that the Yehuda holds in Bava Kamma and other places, that a suma is put, a blind person is put min mitzvahs. What is he put from? So Mikivek says that the Yehuda only means that he's put for mitzvahs asay, but he's chayv in mitzvahs los asay. So therefore, he is a basvicha, because he's mutzu nevela. And then Mikivek interestingly says, but he'll be chayv in matzah, because he'll be chayiv in kiddush, right? So Mikivega assumes that he's only potter from losos, from Aseis, but Chayv and Los Aseis. That when Kivega asks the question in general is strange, one would think, because after all, this is the same question essentially the Shach asked about cotton, and we would have thought that it would be the same answer, just like a cotton is, even though he's potter mikolam mitzvos, but Los Aseis and Aseis, still he's called a Bazricha because, you know, Los Achilim, and that there is a Chalois Isa, the Gabi cotton. One would have thought the same thing, we could Vegas give the same answer by Suma, it wouldn't be a question. But he doesn't. Apparently he thinks that Suma is different, that Suma is Mufka for the mitzvah. It's a Chiddush. The Nodi Behuda disagrees with this Kivega. Nodi Behuda held that Suma is Pot Mekolam, and it's actually a Sufik in the Sefer Machriya, which is the Toysis Rid. But it's an interesting Kivega, so I mentioned it to you. I want to speak about, and then I'm going to get to the loch of Shechitas Akum, but there's a loch that comes up very often, and so this is something you read in the paper all the time. It's the halacha of that when you shecht, in Israel the minig is like this, that when we shecht in Israel, they require that it be what we call a shechita munachas, that the animal is on its back or is inverted, and they shecht the animal, so you're shechting lamala lamata, right? So why is that? The reason they insist on this, the Rabbanut, is because it's based on this aloch in Sifvav, Sif Dalet, Nod Sakim Bekoisil, Veheve Had Sava Achinishchot Shitosok Sheva, For Hushi Had Sava Habahem Lamata, Vahas Sakin Lamala, right? That the tzava, the sakin is above, and the animal is on top. I'm sorry, the animal is on the bottom, and the sakin is on top. Why? Because we're concerned that it shouldn't be a drusha. Drusha is one of the hilchos shechita, which means it has to be a cutting action. You can't you can't guillotine the animal, or chop down. It can't be chopping. It has to be. You need halacha v'havo back and forth. So they interpret these things, it has to be sakin sava lamata, and the Shach here says So they interpret this halacha that the shechita has to be lamata, and that's what the Rabbanut in Israel insists on. So, in other words, when you're shechting, you're going down, right? The animal is, so why is it? Because if the animal is above, when you begin shechting, the animal will lose consciousness very quickly, and the head will collapse on the knife, and that'll cause it, you know, the simonim to be cut. It's not that you're going back and forth, it's the weight of the head going, you know, pushing on the knife from above. So therefore, the animal should be below. That's how they interpret this. That's not so clear that that's what it means. In fact, it's not what it means. It means if you look at the Pima Godim, and so on, he's talking about only when the sakin is stuck in the wall. So I want to just, because this is one of the big issues that you're going to read about in the paper a lot. You've seen this stuff from PETA about cruelty to animals and so on, and they show these pictures in South America, the shechita, the Rabbanut. So I think you should know, in the United States, I forgot what year it was, but I think it was the Humane Slaughter Act goes back to 1960. There was a finding of Congress that shechita is a form, you know, of killing animals which is humane. And the truth of the matter is, you know, what a lot of countries now in Europe are insisting on, that you can't kill through shechita. I just had lunch Wednesday with Rabbi Goldschmidt, you know, from Moscow, and he's now the head of the Conference of European Rabbis. And one of the things he tells me a lot of time on is fighting against the anti-shechita laws in Europe. There are already many countries in Europe that disallow shechita. We know that Hitler's first anti-Semitic legislation in 1933, when he came to power, was disallowing shechita. At the time, there was many were talking about whether you can stun the animal right after, but the Chuvah of Chaim Oizer about it, but Rakachava, others. One of the things they want to insist on, is this kind of stunning afterwards, or if they insist on stunning before, it'll make shechita, first that'll be treif, and even if they want a list, if you do shechita, there was some legislation in the EU that you have to, which didn't pass, you have to list it, that this animal was killed not through shechita, not through stunning, so which would make shechita impossible, because you have to realize there's only a small percentage of the production that ultimately goes into the kosher market. Why? Because we don't use the hindquarters, right? Because there's a minig in many communities not to use the hindquarters, because not to do nika on the chelek ha-chavayim, mainly because of the chashash of chelev. Chelev is an isur koras, and therefore, we don't. So that 50% is gone. I'm going to come back to the chelek ha-chavayim in a second. Then the most you get in shechita nowadays, even if let's say you get 40% kosher, so it's only 50. It's already only half of that 50% or less, right? So you're talking about you're only getting 20% of the meat is going to go into the kosher market. So you have to sell the rest of it into the general market, not kosher market, and you have to have buyers for that. But if you'll put a stamp that this is, was seared in pain when they shechted it, essentially, it'll make it just the economics of shechita will become impossible. And of course, a lot of this is pure anti-Semitism. The real truth is this, that shechita is relatively painless, obviously not painless, but relatively. And there's a wonderful book written by Rabbi Levinger about shechita. He himself is a veterinarian. He used to be the Rav in Basel. He's the brother of the Rabbi Levinger from Hebron. And he shows on a scientific level, just in terms of the physiology of this, how it's relatively painless. And in fact, what they do in the non-kosher thing is they shoot a bullet. I mean, it's a bolt into the head of the animal. And if you don't hit the exact sweet spot, this animal will be cringing in pain, and they have to try again. So the alternative is not necessarily great. And these same people who are worried in Europe and other places about shechita, they have no problem about asphyxiating minks so as not to ruin their skins and the fur. That's not disallowed. It's only shechita that they want to disallow. I wonder why. The truth is, a lot of this anti-shechita attempts in Europe are really not directed at the Jews. They're directed at Muslims. So we're nachschleppers. But what I want to say is this, that the Rav in the 1960s, he was really the forerunner of this, together with the Blazer Silver and others, created what is the way we shecht, the preferable way to shecht, is to shecht in a pen. The animal goes into a pen, its head then goes into is held in a brace. So therefore, there's no problem that the head will, collapse because it can't hold itself up. It's held in a brace, and then you shecht, actually not shechting lamat lamal, you're shechting balachson on an angle. And the Rav got all the Jewish community in the 1950s and 60s, the unified Jewish community, you know, not religious community, the secular community, to buy into this, because the ASP, what was it, you know, the Association Against Cruelty to Animals, you know, was very opposed to Shechita, and the Rav saw what was coming, and so the Jewish community invested and did a lot of research how to create this pen. You know, it's like this hydraulic lift that goes underneath the belly of the animal, picks it up a little bit so it's a little bit immobilized, holds its head in place, and then it shechs lamata lamala. So this the Rabbanut was very upset about. I shouldn't say very upset, but you know, it wanted its minig. And I've been speaking to every chief rabbi since I've been at the OU more than 30 years, for them to change their position unsuccessfully. But it would be much better in terms of, you know, the acceptability of this throughout, you know, throughout the world. But, Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, who's in jail now with a 27-year sentence, which is just an absolute outrage. He happens, you know, first of all, to give him a life sentence. Just this is pure anti-Semitism. What he did should probably generate at most a year's sentence, and it was what was commonly done in business. It's just an outrage. You know, I think that President Trump, although it's hard for me to pronounce those words, that he's ultimately gonna, you know, give him clemency. But it's a terrible out. But one of the things that, you know, got him into trouble was this, that he had, because for the Chassidic Shul now they started with the rotary pen, which means that it inverts the animal, so you're shechting, you know, at first it's completely inefficient because you have to put it on its back and then you have to rotate it again. But, you know, I tried my best to kill all of that unsuccessfully, as you see. I know the Satmar Rebbe, with Aaron, who I'm quite friendly with, the one from Monroe, you know, he wanted to show, you know, another chumrah. So he insisted, Satmar always used to sech in a standing pen, and the Rebbe Yoel, the old Satmar Rebbe, wanted it that way also. And I know from people who were with him, they discussed the Rav's pen and so on, and he was for it. This was when Rav Shapiro was the chief rabbi. So again, you know, I was trying to get American meat into Israel. So the issue was the Shechita Menachos. As a matter of fact, he told me, Sharansky, that when he was the Minister of Trade and Industry, he told me that, you know, he also tried. And Martin Indyke, who was the ambassador, he was ambassador to Israel under Clinton, he told me every American ambassador, you know, he always tries to, because American companies, America's giving, you know, billions of dollars of aid to Israel, these farmers in the Midwest, they want American meat, you know, to come into Israel, and because America didn't have the Shechita Menachos at the time, it wasn't efficient, they didn't. So he told me, in fact, that when he became ambassador, he went to speak to, you know, to Sharansky, who then was Minister of Trade and Industry, as I mentioned. And he said, you know, he made the usual pitch, and Sharansky said, Martin, this is Indyke imitating Sharansky, said, you know, I'd do anything for you, but please, don't send me back to the rabbis. So it never worked, but I remember when we were having this discussion, I spoke to the Rav about it. I told him that Rav Avraham Shapira, who was then the Rav HaRashi, you know, very Choshev Talmid Chacham, that's an understatement, that, you know, this was an issue. So he told me to write him a letter and to cite that the Rambam says in Hilchos Shechita, when he speaks about Shechita, he says that the Shechita can be ben omedes, ben rovetzes. So you see the Rambam says the Shechita can be standing. But it didn't help. And I had this conversation with Rav Aaron, you know, the Satmar Rebbe, because he wanted to start a Shechita, and he did. And he started it in Texas, and the people who owned Ali, the Shia Halder, Zichron Levracha, he didn't want to do this at all. You know, they wanted the regular Shechita like they had Mishonim Kadmonios. So I had this discussion with the Satmar Rebbe, and I told him, I said, you know, Rabbi Yoshebe had this Rambam, so he tells his Gabbai officials, he says, bring me a Rambam. and he looks in the Rambam, because he's glad of Tanach Chacham, Taka, as I state in the Rambam. So I thought I won the day. Nechta Katov. You know, it didn't help. You know, the issue wasn't the Rambam. You know, they had a, you know, Rabbi Grumblatt once told me this wonderful, he said there was once a senator who gave a speech on the Senate floor, and it was a very impassioned speech, excellent speech, and his colleague told him, he said, you know, this is the first time I ever heard a speech on the Senate floor that changed my mind about an issue. I have yet to hear the speech that will change my vote. So, anyhow, but this is an issue that comes up, and you can hear about, you know, that Peter comes and tries to, you should, as Rabbonim, you should know, Shechita really is the most humane, if it's done correctly, is the most humane, or as humane as the other ways. It's, and, you know, but the solution to some of the, this thing, because in South America what they do is, because it's most of the Shechita in South America, Israel's meat that is slaughtered, Israel has almost no slaughter in Israel itself, because it's not an act, you know, they don't grow very much cattle in Israel, just because, you know, they don't have Iowa and so on. So they import their meat from South America, they send out their tzvatot under the Rabbanut, different ones, and then, but what they do is, they don't have pens in these slaughterhouses in South America. They may have a standing pen for the non-kosher. So what they do is they invert the animal. They sort of, you know, turn it on its back and they shecht it. The truth of the matter is, it's done very, very quickly, and it's you know, the graphics is not great. I don't know in terms of the stress of the animal, you know, what it causes. But we've argued to try to put in. But again, we don't control the shechita in South America. Most of the meat that's slaughtered there is going to Israel, you know, which is, you know, a huge market for them. But that's an issue that you hear about every once in a while. There's a woman who's renowned as the you know, the animal welfare, who knows about the slaughterhouses. She herself eats meat. She says she loves meat. Her name is, you might have heard the name. It's a famous name, Temple Grandin. Did anybody hear the name? They did an HBO movie about her. And she's actually very pro-shechita, if it's done properly. And after Agri, you know, Rubashkin had all the problems, I insisted that they speak to her and set up a system that they can have the rotary pen, which, again, I wasn't happy about. And they did. And she has her disciple, Erica Vogue, who goes on a regular basis, and they have a whole system. You know, Temple herself is autistic. And because of that, she thinks that she can understand, you know, from the, you know, the stress level in terms of how animals view it. It's very interesting. And a lot of the, you know, throughout the United States, the slaughterhouses, the equipment that they use has been designed by her. She's a professor of animal husbandry in Colorado. That's an important issue that you're going to be hearing about. Now I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the problems I mentioned to you was that they used to have Mechalis Shabbos as Shoichta in America. But Mechalis Shabbos, the issue begins with the locha that a goy can't shech, and that's the beginning of Sif Dalet. HaShoichet L'Shem Avodos Kochovim Afilu Lo Chishiv La'ovda B'Shechita Zu El Chishiv B'Shas Shechita, and then So the halach is that a shoichet, if he's I'm just going to read the Lashon of Mechaba. So there's machlokes rishonim. Here, this isn't sif beis. Shchitas ovi kachovim nevela afilu hu katan vafilu eno ovi davodas kachovim kmo ger toishiv de vemo eds vafilu achem loyin so. Right? So in this halacha that shchitas goy is nevela, there's machlokes rishonim why. So the Rambam, the task goes here, the Rambam says, Pirush HaTam, Shenema, Fekovel Chove Yechalta Mizivcho. Miyacha Shehisha, Shemiyocha Mizivcho, Atalama Shizivcho Oso. Fekosav HaRosh, Alzeh, Ve'enu Dvom Shel Tam, Shehisha Kishyikro So, Ela Shiyocha Mimash Shizoveach, Besoch Beso, Ela Tam Dixiv Zavachta Vyachalta, Oso Shubha Zvicha Echol Mizivcho. So that's the task with the nafkamina that he has. So we have a machlok from the Rambam and the Rosh. What the reason is that shchitas akum is not good? Is it because what? A special pasuk because somehow it's tied to avodah zarah, as or is it because he's not called the bazavicha as the Rosh says? So this lashon of the mechaber, by the way, is the lashon of the Rambam, because it's strange. The Rambam says shchitas ovi kachovim nevela afilu hu katan. What's the difference? Afilu hu katan is a goy. He's still a katan. He's still a goy. Right, what should make a difference? But according to the Rambam had to tell us a chiddush, even a katan, because the reason that a goy is excluded is because what? Because of, you know, for kolcha, you know, a svach of avodah zarah. So we might have thought that a katan is not included. So that's what the Rambam's kamashmalin is. And there's a shaila also. What if he's not? What if he's only a ger toshiv? He's a goy, but some interpret the Ram that the Ram thinks that would only be also mitrabanan, right? The Chaim said that that's not the pshat, but so that's the Rambam's opinion, and the Rosh says no, because he's not a bazvicha, so it's not a ma'aseh shchit at all. So I just wanted to share with you this thing that I heard from the Rav. You know, the Rambam says that the Ram says. I don't have the Ram in front of me, but the Ram says in Ovis Atumos that a goy that shechs, so it's nevela, right? But the Ram says that it's not clear but he says we don't know that's metame tumas nevela. Unless if you bring a real raya to it, therefore, if you're nichnas to the mikdash, maybe you wouldn't have to bring, you know, for tumas mikdash for kadoshav. So the raya would say, does that you guys have your computer? Can you find the Ram? So the Ram is at the end of Avos Atumos. And the raya would there says, the raya is really excited about this Ram. The raya would says, this is the worst svara the Ram ever said. He says, la omas svara pchusim miyomov, right? Yeah, if you have that, do you have it on your, no. Alright, anyhow, I don't have, but, so, by the way, there's, the Ravid uses that lush in one other place, where else, the Ravid uses, but the Ram says by Kiddush, that you can't eat before Kiddush Shabbos morning, so he says he's made a mistake, because he could do lush in Kiddush, and I think he says, la omos svara pchusim miyomav, so I guess we have to say that they were equally bad. Right, the two worst svaras that Ram had. So this, the Rav said this was what I'm going to tell you now. This was Reb Chaim Brisker, his grandfather's bar mitzvah drasha. And the Rambam brings a raya. So he says you'll be surprised to think that there's such a thing as a nevela that's not metama tumas nevela, Alti Tama, the Ram says, because we find such another model, and that is what? Is treifa. So, what does treifa have to do with nevela? Treifa is one of the, like we spoke about before, as one of the Yudches Simoni treifa. What does that have to do with With what? With Nevela. How does he prove? So Reb Chaim said, this is a famous Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim said, what's the halacha of treifa? So we would think that treifa is, if it has one of the 18 simoni treifa, right, has a hole in the brain, or the keres, or, right, or, and so on, right? So that makes it a treifa, right? Nothing related to Nevela. The definition of Nevela is that it either Mesa may led, that it didn't, a proper shechita wasn't done, right? Or if it, right? What is Nevela? Since you see treifa is not matama, so Reb Chaim said, the Rambam that you see from here, that the pshat and treifa is a different shot. Biskurov quotes this from Reb Chaim in the letters in the back of the chedusha, that the loch of treifa is that treifa is a chesorin in the heter shechita. You know, in the shechita is if it's a treifa, the shechita is not matir, but the chesorin is in the shechita. Shechita doesn't work, so to speak, on a treifa. But it's not nevela, it's not matama tumas nevela, right? So you see this idea that there can be a maisa shechita without a heta shechita, that's treifa. And that's what the Ram holds that a goy, especially because the Ram holds that the mokah for akum is what? V'kabal chav yachav mezifcha, not like the rosh, that's not a maisa shechita, right? Right? So Chaim said, now we understand how, you know, how the Rambam combined, and the Rambam we know thinks that there's a relationship between treifa and nevela, because the Rambam says that chatzisai is treifa and chatzisai is nevela amitztafen. So you see that there's a relationship between what? Between treifa and nevela. Right? Because they're one chalois. L'may nafkamina, so this is Rav talks called Shalom Chaim. Let's say, you know, if I shechted the a ben pekua means it's a pregnant animal. If I shecht the mother, so the shechita relates also to what? To the uber. Right? And that's why, but if the mother is a treifa, even though the uber is not, so the you can't rely on that shechita, you'd have to shecht the uber independently after it was born. Right? But why? The mother's the treifa. The uber's not a treifa. The shechita of the mother's going to relate to the uber. So the teretz is it's because it's a chesoron that had the shechita. And since the uber is participating in the shechita of the mother, and the shechita of the mother can't be mat because the mother's a treifa, that's what Revel has in the sefer. So it's not mat to the uber either, right? This is a wonder, and that's what the Ram means in Avos Atumas when he speaks about treifa, and that, you know, that you have such a thing as a shechitas akum. It's not matir, but it's what? It's not matir, but it's Torah. It's not matamit tumas tevela. And remember the Rebbe when he said this thing for Reb Chaim said, and you know, this shtickle, this bar mitzvah dosha that Reb Chaim gave, he wrote it himself, and no one helped him with it. And then the Rebbe paused and said, you know how you know no one helped him with it? There was no one who could have helped him. It was so typically Reb Chaim. Okay. I just want to maybe mention one other thing, just a controversial issue that's floating around now, and that is, I think Rabbi Shechter wrote something about it also. You know, I mentioned that there's a loch of Ben Pekua. Ben Pekua is, you know, an animal, you shech the mother, and the Vlad was born. So Midrabanan it needs Shechita, because of Maris Ayin. It's Machloikis HaPoiskim, whether the Shechita has to be a kosher Shechita. What if I shecht, you know, if I shechted but it wasn't in accordance, let's say there was a drasha or there was a pekim in the knife, whether that's, is that okay? Because if it's just Maris Ayin, that should be sufficient. Or does it have to be a kosher Shechita and the knife is a good knife and there's no drasha, chalod, and so on? That's Machloikis HaPoiskim. I just mentioned a Shaila, that just a question that bothered me. The Rashba says that on Shechita Ben Pekua, Machloikis, would you make a brocha when you shech the Ben Pekua? The Rashba says you make a brocha. So we would have thought that the Rashba thinks it's a real Shechita, yet the Rashba holds that Sakit Pogam is good. So that's a Tzorach Iyum. But what they're trying to do now, so there's somebody in Australia, is to create a herd of Ben Pekuas, and if they mate to each other, so then while we'll need this kind of, you know, we'll require Shechita, but you'll get 100% kosher rate because treifas don't answer in a Ben Pekua. So the difficulty or the big risk here is, but if a ben pekua mates with a regular animal, so then you can't do shchita on it, because half the animal, you know, if its genealogy is requires shchita, the other half doesn't. So shchita doesn't affect. So you know, if you would get one, what do you call it, cheverman, you know, to get into this whole ben pekua, it would mess everything up. So this is a big controversy about whether this is appropriate or not appropriate. Most people don't support it, but at a conceptual level, you know, it's something to think about. But I'm just, you know, as Rabbanim, you're going to hear about it in the newspapers. Rabbi Orlean, my time is up, I presume?
Is there anything else?
I found the Rambam, if you want.
Oh, so let me just...
There is Yud in the opposite of this.
Oh,
it's there. The Rambam
says...
Read it, yeah.
Shchitas akim nevela umetamo b'masiv afilu yisrael omid al gabov v'mshachy besokin yofesh shchita kavoy echad ha'akum v'echad ha'kusi oger toshiv shchitasin nevela v'kora be'enei she'afseh medivei sofrim shrei tumas avodazora v'tumas tekrovos medivei mekamoshiv. Notice the Ram says that the tuma that they have is only midrabanan, but he thinks that it's only midrabanan. Again, this is the Ram who thinks it's kova, that it's a dvara of Avodah Zorah, so it's Tumas Avodah Zorah. Ubeglal Avodah Zorah nisrachu hakusiv v'nesra shchitosa v'imtoma valo hi asura b'achila din Torah lo kol ha'osu b'achila metamashir ha'treifa. So the Rambam, you know, treifa asura b'tahora v'efshel l'chayiv koras al tumazu al bias mikdash v'achilas kadoshiv el b'raya b'ruyo. Where's the Raivin?
You can't get
a Raivin. All right. So if you look at the Raivin there, he's not such a big fan of this Pesach of the Rambam. All right. Are there any questions that anybody has about Shchita or anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is there any
Shchita
in the
Rambam?
15
minutes. So we have time for Minchas, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned 30 seconds without Minchas. Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
The other Rambam Rebbe is in Chaf Tzad of Hilchot Shabbat, one with Kiddush.
Oh, okay. Thank you.